campuses. Come on, you can do better than that, Florida. Somebody ought to make some noise today. Wow. Yeah, man, I tell you, for those of you that don't know, you know, at every campus today, you know, we have these live singers, but the little rapper in the back, I don't mean candy rapper, I just mean the little guy in the back. That guy's name's Brandon, and he was actually born at this church. Me and Nicole held him as a baby. Give it up for Brandon making it happen. He's also he's on a traveling basketball team. His dad doesn't let him play on Sunday, and he's such a star that they actually maneuver games around for him. And so now his actual coaches come to church because they can't play without Brandon. So one more time, give it up for a family prioritizing Jesus. It's going to be a good weekend. This is week two. Everybody shout, this is week two. Yeah, how many of y'all enjoyed last week? Raise your hand. And if you didn't enjoy it, don't tell anybody that you didn't. Just try it one more time. Raise your hand. And I want to give a little update, though. Last week, people were disappointed in me because I didn't give where we're at for the Boynton Beach campus and so on. So here we are on the giving slide. You guys have given $2,186,743. Somebody make some noise. Y'all put the new roof on, you bought the building, and things are going good. And so we need your continued support to make that happen, to get that paid off, and then we're going to actually get all fixed up and move. And as you know, Florida, we thought we were just going to get rid of, you know, the high school, but then we had so many people that really, really need to be there. Maybe they live 20 minutes north up in Jupiter or whatever. And so we just decided, God spoke to us and said, hey, you know, we're not getting rid of the campus, we're adding three. So one more time, give it up for Palm Beach County. Good. And of course, last announcement is this, the connect groups. If you're not in a connect group, I want you to get in a connect group. Not for me, but for you. You're only as sick as your secrets. And you do life alone, you'll get yourself out there in a lone situation, and you have no accountability. So it's really, you know, I don't care that you come to church and you're anonymous, it doesn't bother me, but I'm worried about you. And so when you get involved, whether that's in a small group where they ride motorcycles, Rich and the gang there in Florida, they ride like crazy 12 months out of the year there, only 2 months out of the year here. Come on, somebody. But they got every kind of group you can imagine. And if we don't have a group that fits you, that's God calling you to start a group. And so we want this big church to become little through groups. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you got blessed. You got to sit by me today. My first slide, you're going to want to get out your phone probably for this because you're going to want to post this. This statement, check this out. Your preoccupation with hypothetical situations will kill you. Hypothetical situations, your preoccupation with hypothetical situations will kill you. So here's my question. Have you ever tossed and turned in the middle of the night and you woke up in the light of day and you can't even remember what the heck the problem was? Raise your hand. I feel like I'm doing a commercial right now. Then you need Lunesta. So we have these anxious thoughts, these cares, these frets, these anxieties that really mess us up. So we seek for comfort somewhere. In fact, a doctor asked me recently, he said, you know, maybe I want to check your diet first. You know, what are you eating? And I said, my feelings. Because that's what we do. We get upset and then we try to calm ourselves down. By some people do it through gaming, some people through alcohol. And for me, it is Girl Scout cookies. Can I get an amen up in this church today? So you're really messing yourself up because we're allowing our minds to wander. Here's the good news about God. He knew everything about you and still picked you. Here's the other great thing about God. He's actually the master carpenter and craftsman that made your brain. Now, first of all, here in Florida, how many of y'all, I asked you this last week, but just in case you're new people, how many of you got a bigger brain probably than the person sitting next to you? You're like, I'm just pretty sure. Okay, so this mind that God gave you, he wants you to control your mind because if you don't control your mind will control you. You're gonna toss and you're gonna turn, you're gonna be upset and you're gonna wake up and feel like, I'm exhausted. And because maybe at 4 a.m. you thought you needed more sleep, so you took another Tylenol PM and then you woke up and you're like, I don't know what I need. And then you're like, you know what? I need to start smoking crack. That's probably the answer to what I need. This is how people get themselves in trouble because they try to medicate instead of eradicate. So if you try to medicate it, and medicine's fine for a season. But it's a season. It's a short season. So we gotta drill down and find out what God said about your mind so you can control your mind. Because you said a minute ago, you got a big mind. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse 2 in the Amplified Bible. It says here, set your mind. So it's like a clock. Set your mind and keep focused habitually. Make a habit out of this. On the things that are above. Heavenly things. Not on the things that are on the earth, which only have temporal value. So we get really upset. I got to go to school, and then I got to get a student loan, and then I got to start dating, and then I got to move to a big city, and then when I move to a big city, then I'm going to need a roommate, and then I've got a bunch of roommates, and now I met somebody. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. And now things really got complicated, and then we had kids, and then now that we got kids, is it her house? Is it my house? Is it their house? And now the in-laws and the outlaws. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? You're like, oh my God, it's got to stop. I'm 22. All this stuff is temporary. It is temporary value. Your education is temporary. It's here as long as you're here on the people planet. Your house is temporary. That thing you're upset about at the subdivision, the thing you're upset about at the work, you're not gonna work there a year from now. Or if you do work there a year from now and you control your mind and you control your mouth, then you control your mind and you control your mouth, then you control your outcome. And actually the boss's office might be your office if you'll learn to be the boss of you. But our mind seems to get out of control with things that are temporary. 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 I want you to shout it here in Florida, everywhere. Shout, it's only temporary. Look at your neighbor and say, it's only temporary. Your nails, only temporary. Your weave, only temporary. Your situation, only temporary. Temporary. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm a temp here. I'm feeling crazy today. I'm just telling you. For you died to this world, and your new life, your real life, is hidden with Christ in God. So when you find out who you are in Christ, and you realize that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, and old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, then that takes away a lot of the stress in the world, because you go, hey, I'm not worried about what I used to be, because I'm not who I used to be. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus, got saved, got in a group, started going to faith church, and that's what I'm gonna do. Somebody ought to shout amen to that. So, it's only temporary. For you died to this world, your new life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, I love this, who your life is, appears, you will also appear with him in the glory. So your real life appears when you really realize who you are in Jesus. I think about right now, it just comes to mind. I remember we live in a subdivision and there was a subdivision road committee and the guy who was in charge of the committee wasn't in charge of his wife. And apparently at work, they bossed him around. At home, they bossed him around. So at the road committee, he was the cowboy. And on a steel horse, I ride. And he tried to make my life miserable. And when I lived in this little podunk town on this podunk road in this podunk village, he was the chief podunk poker, drive me crazy, and it wasn't a very far drive, just right around the corner. And I remember now, looking back at it at 53, and I know what you're thinking, man, you don't look a day over 52. Thank you, that was kind of you. But now I look back and think, why did I allow that thing that was only temporary to jack up my day? For that matter, my week. For that matter, my month. There was almost a whole year. So now here's what I gotta tell you. I just recently moved into another subdivision. Oh, I did. And the chief potentate of the potentate of the potentate came to us this week and said, we got a problem with the fact that you had a party at your house. I said, guess what? This land is my land. This is not your land. I don't know the rest of the words, but I know this is true. I bought this property and we're not drinking and there's no smoking, so it has nothing to do with you. You can't have my number. You can't have my peace. You can't have my joy. So one neighbor called and got my number and said, so-and-so wants your number. And I said, they said, we didn't give it to him because we know who you are. And so we just felt like it would violate you to give him the number. I said, you're so smart. That's why I love you so much. You're the best neighbor in the world. When it says, love your neighbor as yourself, that's easy with you because you're a good neighbor. Like Mr. Rogers, this is a good, good neighbor. But I already made up my mind.
I didn't move out there to have somebody steal my peace. So it was only temporary and it goes away. But today when I kind of pulled it home, I thought, you know, dirty rascal over there wants to talk to me. I hope that they don't run out here and want to talk to me, because right now is not a good time to talk to me. It's too fresh. Anybody ever said it's too fresh? Raise your hand. Come on. All campuses. Come on, Florida. Raise your hand. Too fresh. Too soon. Too soon. Too soon. But today, if you don't, I said at the beginning, if you don't deal with your anxieties will deal with you. Now, you know, I brought this incredible little demonstration. This is water imported from Palm Beach, Florida. This is Florida water. No, it's not, because it would smell horrible. Florida water is not filtered. By the way, I heard in Florida there's a gas shortage. Nobody can get gas, which is the opposite of St. Louis, because everybody here has gas. But that's a whole nother sermon. Feelings. These all represent problems. In fact, I'm just going to grab one. This one says kids. Oh, there's some anxiety issues. This one says marriage. Oh, now we're talking. Don't poke your wife or husband right now. Negativity. This one right here. Bills. All these are our feelings. And so what we tend to do is we try to suppress our feelings. Push them down. We go to church. We go, people say, how you doing? You go, blessed and highly favored. Not today, Satan. And, come on, somebody ought to help me right now. Oh, let him know weapon formed against me will prosper. And we suppress it. But the fact is, it keeps popping back because we don't deal with it properly. So what did God say? He didn't say suppress the feelings, because when you suppress it, you're going to mess up your emotions. See, some of you today, you have suppressed feelings because your dad and your mom, when they walked into the room, you had to suppress, you were laughing. My dad was this way. I believe it or not, you don't believe this, but I was a fun kid. How many of y'all can see me as a little kid? I was so cute. Oh my gosh, I don't know what happened to me now, but I tell you about then, I was so cute. Had my little bowl Amish cut. Come on, can you see this right now? My hair was down here. They just cut it with a bowl, and I was just funny, and I would make my brothers laugh. And have you ever been, remember when you were a kid and you would laugh so hard in the car and your parents would say, shut up, you better stop it, but you couldn't stop it. You were just going, remember this? Raise your hand. While you were in the back, not tied to a child restraint system. Come on, somebody on the back doing this to the truckers. Can I see who I'm talking to right now? Sorry, I had to suppress it. It hurt so bad because I wouldn't laugh so hard because it was so funny. But sometimes when my dad came in because he was in a bad mood, I don't understand why dad was in a bad mood. Now that I'm a dad, I understand why they're in a bad mood, you know? Let's go to Disney and finance the house and pay $1,900 for tickets and $2,000 for food and stand on what is the equivalent of the sun. It's so hot. And now you're like, I actually got to buy a fast pass for a fast pass, and I bought a ticket, but I can't ride a ride. Ah! If you haven't been to Disney in a while, you'll know what I just said was completely factual. So sometimes we've suppressed things down, or you were molested, or you were lied on. And so if we don't deal with these issues and we leave them unresolved and we're just trying to suppress them and act like everything's fine, praise the Lord, I'm fine, and then we smile, but really on the inside, we're crying. Then this manifests itself in different ways. Anger, rage, depression, anxiety, and leads to abuse. And lately I've seen so many people who they feel bad abusing somebody else, so they abuse their self in cutting. Literally mothers, grandmothers. I talked to a grandmother 2 weekends ago who said, I just hated myself so bad, and I hated what I did so bad that I literally take little razors and they just cut on themselves. And you might say, I would never do that. You might not do it physically, but you do it to yourself all the time on the inside. You never and you always, and you're too fat and you're too short and you're too old and you're too stupid and you're not smart enough. And the reason why men don't like you and the reason why women don't like you. Wait. You got to shut down those internal lies. You got to say, hang on, devil. I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to He who made me, and He has set me free, and I want to control my thoughts, and I must be valuable because God made me a thumbprint, and if I do the crime, I'm going to do the time. You're so special to God. I want to say it again. You're so special to God that He, out of all the squazillions of people that He has made, and He has made a lot of people, some of us pretty good, that's you guys, and then other people I'm like, you need Jesus. Raise your hand right now if you know what I'm talking about. If you didn't raise your hand right now, I'm talking about you. But you were so special that out of all the squazillions of people He made, there's still nobody that ever had a thumbprint like you. I don't even know how He did that. I don't know how He did all of this, but I know that He loves you and He cares for you, and God sent His only Son to redeem you and revive you and restore you. And here on this Sunday in 2023, somebody ought to shout amen. You can be free and live the best of your life without suppressing your emotions. Mark chapter 5, let's go there. They went across the lake. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs. And I underlined that for you, impure spirit, because there's a lot of impure spirits. He came from the tombs and He met him, and the man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with chains. For he had often been chained, both in the hand and the foot, and he tore the chains apart, and he broke the irons at his feet, and no one, I want you to read that with me, no one was strong enough to subdue him. Florida, everybody, read it again. What's it say? And so we amp up the drug dosage and it doesn't subdue us. We amp up the abuse or the normal use and it doesn't subdue us. Night and day in the tombs and the hills, he would cry out, and he would do what to himself? Cut himself. People think this is new. This isn't new. This is old. The same devil that was back then in Jesus' day is the same devil that's causing people to cut themselves today. Here's the deal. If God could deliver him, God could deliver you. And by the way, he already has. I feel the Holy Ghost on this today. He already has. You never have to cut on yourself again. But listen, come here. Let me tell you something. You don't start cutting on yourself here. You start cutting on yourself here. I'm going to say it again. It doesn't start here. It starts here. Because our thinking's wrong. Our life's wrong. Verse 6, when he saw Jesus at a distance, this is what I love too. Some of you watching on television right now, you've been watching church from a distance, but even at a distance, Jesus could pull you out of watching us in the middle of the night and say, you know what, who is this joker on TV pushing down some stuff in an aquarium? Listen, it doesn't matter who I am. It's who I'm pointing you to today, and it's Jesus, and he could come right into your living room right now. He could come right into your hotel room right now. Somebody ought to shout amen, and from a distance, it could change everything. You can tell how old I am because one of my computer files just popped up and it said, from a distance, the world. Okay, verse 6. And when Jesus saw him from a distance, he ran and he fell to his, he fell on his knees in front of him when he saw Jesus, and he shouted at the top of his voice, what do you want to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? It's the demon talking. Don't torture me. Jesus said to him, come out of him. Come out of this man. There's that impure spirit that we talked about. And I want to talk to people for a minute who think that you're demon-possessed. I've seen people that are demon-possessed, and I believe in it. But Christians, if you receive Jesus at some point in your life, you can never be demon-possessed, but you can be demon-oppressed. Okay? So it's just an oppression that's walking around on your shoulder telling you stuff about you that's not true. It might even be factual, not true. It's factual you did that. But guess what? The Bible said when the Spirit of truth has come, it says when the Spirit of truth has come, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. So now it is factual. But by the way, it's fact that an airplane can't fly because what goes up must come down. It's called the law. It's the law of gravity. But then all of a sudden now the law of lift supersedes the law of gravity. And now we see big old planes with a lot of people, a lot of luggage, and a lot of fuel, and they're flying right over your heads right now. So we know this, that some of the things that are true about your past and about the molestation and about the hurt and about the divorce, those things are factual. But the truth has come to supersede that and say the rest of your life can be the best of your life and you can be married again. I've been there. You can be happy again. I've been there. Come on, somebody. Don't tell me what God can't do. Somebody at church ought to make some noise for people at home today that feel like it's over. Honey, it ain't over till it's over. And it ain't even close to over. And Jesus in verse 9 said, hey, what's your name? He said, my name is Legion. But there are many. And then he begged Jesus again not to send them out of the area. And a large herd of pigs were feeding in the nearby hillside. And the demons begged Jesus to send them amongst the pigs. Allow us to go into them. And he gave them permission. Notice how Jesus had to give them permission over the impure spirits. And as soon as they went into the pig, 2,000 pigs rushed off of a big embankment and went into the river and drowned. Somebody argued with a guy the other day about, well, you know, why would Jesus do that? He killed those pigs. Jesus didn't kill the pigs. Jesus put the demons in the pigs, and the devil killed the pigs. And it's the same devil that wanted to kill the man. So you take authority over your life today and say, hey, Mr. Devil, here's where you're not living, at the place that I'm paying rent. Here's where you're not living, in the car that I pay the payment on. Here's where you're not living, in the Uber that I bought by myself to ride by myself. And I'm going to be in here by myself. Oh, I'm preaching good today. Come on, RPC, West Palm. Check this out. Verse 15, for the sake of time. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been previously the artist formerly known as, and he was sitting there. What does it say, class? Sitting there, dressed and in his right mind. Dressed in his right mind. He was crazy a minute ago. And now he's just sitting there in his right mind. The enemy does this to all of us. There's nothing new under the sun. He's told me before, you're crazy. You're not right in the head. And knowing me, I'm like, maybe. There was a girl that got saved in my ministry years ago. I had passed out with some friends of mine as a young man, 150,000 tracks every year on the windshield wipers of cars. And this girl, her name's Kim. Kim came. She was delivered. She couldn't believe it. She married her sound man, Dale Byer, and they got married and they had kids. She always thought she was crazy, but she really wasn't crazy. She was just so abused or normally used as a child, she really had some psychological trauma and some issues that were unresolved that she had suppressed for so long. And so now she prays that God will give her a baby, and she now has the baby. And she came to me, and I was just a young man. I wasn't even the pastor of the church yet. My dad was. She came to me and said, I'm so scared. I love this baby so much. But when I was giving the baby a bath the other day, I was thinking about, oh my gosh, what if I ever went crazy and tried to drown my little baby? What if that happened? And I said, wait, Kim, you will never want to do that because that's not who you are. You're worried that's a lying devil. Would you ever allow anything to happen to that baby? No. And I still remember that. That kid's got to be 30 now. She didn't drown that baby. But the devil will try to pull you alone and say, come here. You have been through so much trauma and so much drama and so much psychological issue. You're crazy. And you need to look right back at him and go, no, you're crazy. I'm redeemed. I'm renewed. I'm revived. I have a sound mind. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I want to shout it again. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love mind. See, it was fear that made her think that something was wrong with her. This is why you get in an abusive relationship. You marry a guy, he told you all the great things. He was narcissistic. He told you that he loved you. He drew you in. You were so awesome. You suppressed every feeling that you had and your gut instinct and all your family members. And then he was a cheater. And then he cheated. And then he cheated again. And then he swore that he would never do it again. And then he did it again. And now he's done it so many times, he won't even ask for forgiveness anymore from God or you because he's a narcissistic liar. And so you can't mess with him. You got to let him go and say, you know what? God bless you. And may the Lord keep you. And may his face shine upon you and give you rest. But as for me and my house and the two little jokers that we made together, I'm going to raise them in the house of God. And somebody someday is going to love me. But I know that God loves me. So I'm going to love me enough to hit the road, Jack. And I'm going to go. He might say, I'm going to kill you. He huffed and he puffed and he tried to blow your house down. But no weapon formed against you, including you, will prosper. Somebody ought to give God praise today. Yeah. So let's talk about suppressed emotions for a minute. Suppressing emotions can actually endanger your health. Psychologically, that's what happened to the girl I told you about a minute ago. And physically, hypertension, high blood pressure, all the stuff you see on the news in the commercial break. Do you suffer from high blood pressure, hypertension? Do you get up multiple times in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? And then you read the bottom plant and they're like, guess what? If you take this, you're probably going to live, but there's a possibility that you could die of diarrhea in your sleep in the middle of the night. You know, it's something like that. Time magazine, I clipped it out of an article I was studying this week. It says, modern life is full of emotional challenges and pressures to succeed. Keep up. The fear of missing out, major FOMO, in relationship, work, satisfaction, that makes us volatile. However, what we learn in society is not to work with our emotions, but how to block and avoid them. We do it quite well. Behind alcohol, prescription drugs, screen time, TikTok. We avoid our feelings. I like being around people. I love people. I want to be where the people are. I want to be where they're singing and dancing. I want to be where they're eating pot. Diet Coke. I want to go. That's why I like small groups. You act like, man, he's crazy. No, I'm not. I'm expressing my emotions. And I am really happy. I really am. I'm so full of joy. I just really am happy. If you only knew all the stuff that I went through this week, you'd be like, I can't believe he's just happy. Because I will not allow problems to dictate how I feel. I tell my feelings even how to feel. I get up, my body says, I don't feel well. I say, well, I'm glad I don't care what you feel. My leg hurts, my back hurts. Anybody over 50, raise your hand here in Florida. Have you got stuff like me that hurts that you didn't even know you had? You go to the doctor and they're like, you're sacroiliac and your bacadacadac is enlarged and now you need to take something to cause, I didn't even know this happened. So I'm doing stretches. Our conversations at home, Nicole's like, what you need is to learn the yoga stance that does this. I'm like, I'm not into satanic ritualistic yoga. She said, no, I'm not talking about that. You ain't got a hum. You just need to stretch out, old man, because you know what? I get tired of tying your tennis shoes, which is exactly why I didn't tie them today. So, a lot of the problems that we have is we push down the expression and we pin it up and then we have symptoms called anxiety that stem from an underlying mechanism in you called survival. This week, our little dog, every week we have some kind of little, interaction with the dog. Well, I'm not gonna say that because Brother Copeland told me, don't you ever say that. But this week, our dog is this big. She has animalistic impulses. And we dropped a piece of chicken because I like to eat organic as much as possible. The chicken had not been cut that much, and it was honestly about that size. Nicole's trying to get the chicken before the dog gets the chicken. The dog goes, ha, ha, and she takes the chicken, and then she swallows the chicken, and then Nicole's trying to get it, and then all of a sudden the dog realizes she literally bit off more than she could chew. The dog now kind of convulses, falls over on her side. Nicole has past trauma from Luppy dying, and so she turns around away from the dog and yells, "David, help!" I'm no veterinarian, but I only did what I knew to do, which was grab the dog, hold the dog up like this, and start massaging the throat like this. Guys, I promise you, I'm a trained vet. Before you go to the vet, bring him to me. All of a sudden now, the big chunk of chicken goes, and the dog goes, and Nicole goes, "Oh my God, now she's shaking. Now we need to take her to the vet." I'm like, "For more vet bills? I don't think so. The dog is fine. You'd be shaking too if you just pass out from a big old chunk of chicken." But because Nicole had past trauma, I didn't go, "Why are you yelling at me all the time to raise these dogs from the dad?" By the way, no more dogs. We need cats. They have 9 lives. Come on, somebody help me. I never thought I was a cat guy, but now I'm thinking cat. Anybody go, any cat people in the building? Okay. I'm just talking about stress. I'm talking about emotions. Have you ever had stuff that happens that you didn't expect to happen and it freaked you out and now it's like a half an hour later and you're still kind of shaking? Raise your hand. You're like, "Oh my gosh, I don't even know why. What's going on?" Well, sometimes if we've been living with this way for 10 years and daddy said shut up and not laugh and the abuser that you just married is jacking with you and then your kids that you had together kind of act like him and his side and then all of a sudden you're like, "I've been watching all this stuff on television and now I took some drugs but I'm not sure what happened but my hands are shaking." Guess what? You need your mind renewed with the word of God and realize that Jesus loves you. It won't always be this way. Somebody in Florida ought to shout amen today. It's called emotional stress. Whitney said it. "I get so emotional, baby, every time I think of you." Come on, class. "Baby, don't be hurt like I do." If you're new here, we're going for it again. "I get so emotional, baby." Channel Whitney. "Every time I think of you, I get so emotional, baby. I don't know the words, but I get strong here." I'll be here all week, ladies and gentlemen. Come back for week 3. You're going to love it. I'm almost done. So, suppressed emotions causes insomnia, I can't sleep, I wake up in the middle of the night. There's a prescription the Bible says, he gives his beloved sweet sleep. I'm afraid to go to sleep. That's why I sleep in the chair with the television on. So I have all the noise, because I need the white noise, because I can't fall asleep, because if I'm alone with my thoughts, I'm afraid. So I just kind of pass out from exhaustion. The Bible said to bring all of our concerns and our anxieties to God, for he cares for me. Watch this. He said to 1 Peter 5:7, it's not in my notes, but they'll put it on the screen for you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all of your cares and anxieties upon him, for he cares for you." So here's the deal. If he's caring for you, why are you caring for you? If there ain't no sense in both of us paying. What if Nicole would have freaked out and I would have freaked out? Because I didn't have a lot of past trauma with the dog. So she's strong in all areas, trust me. She'd have to be mentally strong to live with me. That's way too judgmental. I look at your faces like, "Yeah, that's right. I know that's the truth." But if I would have freaked out and she would have freaked out, the dog would have died with a chunk of chicken in its mouth. Oh, yeah. The Doberman's down with a limp. Leppy died. And now the other died. How'd the other die? No, I can't seem to say it right, but I hope it gets better. How did the other dog die? Eating organic chicken. Was it organic chicken that caused it? No, it was the size that she tried to digest. It's the size stuff that you're putting in your mouth and thinking about over and over. And this is where we have to decide today. Next week, we're gonna talk about it more, that you cannot allow today's anxieties to suffocate the fruit of your life. Last scripture, I know I'm 5 minutes over, Florida, everybody, everywhere, but this is good for you. Look at your neighbor and say, I need this, don't rush me. It's cheaper than a therapist. I don't even have to pay here, it's free, okay? Luke 8:14. The seeds which fell among the thorns are these, the ones that have heard, but they go on their way. They heard week one, they heard week two. They went on their way and they suffocated. They were suffocated like the dog, suffocated with the anxieties and the riches and the pleasures of life. Well, I gotta really work really hard because I need this pleasure of life. And they bring forth no fruit to maturity. I want you to shout that with me. What's that? No fruit to maturity. One more time, every campus, loud and clear. For all the Catholics, let's say it. No fruit to maturity. Shout again. No fruit to maturity. They love that here. They love. So the reason why no marriage grows to maturity, no business deals go to maturity, is because we don't have any root. Now, I'm not saying that you won't have any problems. You got problems. I have tons of problems. Probably got more problems than you got. But I've chose to say, I'm not looking at these as my problem. I'm looking at them as God's problem. So again, I'm going to chuck it at you. Road committee, 16 million, television bills, dead dog, vet bills, your problems, my problems. You just need to say, I'm gonna let it go to maturity. And the more mature you are, the more you can go, hey, Felicia, done been through the road committee. Come on, I'm trying to channel something here. Somebody ought to help the white boy out. Okay. Okay. Verse 15. But as for the seed that is sown in good soil, shout, that's me. These are the ones who have heard the word, as you did today, at a good and noble heart, and they hold on to it tightly. And I love this last part. And they bear fruit with patience. They bear fruit with patience. So here's where we go, Florida, RPC, West Palm, all the other campuses. Hold tight to it, this word today. If you didn't see last week, go back on the Faith Church app and watch it. If you're watching on any other devices, go back and watch last week. And hold on to it with patience. Because you didn't get into this mess overnight. And you're not gonna get out overnight. If you try to rush the process, how quick, hey PD, how quick can I get in and get out? You know, you think you can fix me in 4 weeks? 2 months? Listen, it's post-COVID. We can't even get chairs. We can't even get air units for 2 years, okay? We got air units, like $150,000 air unit. And they said, that'll be almost a year. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, can we, a year? So our new song here at this building is going to be, it's getting hot in here. That's a St. Louis classic. Come on, nail it. But I say, keep on your clothes. Don't think I don't know Nelly's song. I'm from the 314. Yeah. But the taxes are so good, I'd be paying my taxes in the 561. I'm almost done. So, some of y'all, you're like this. And you come to church and go, hey PD, how long you think it's gonna take? Looking at you, Ida. It might take a while, but I believe if you stick with it, if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. Somebody ought to shout amen. You need to shout amen today and say, he who the Son has set free is free indeed. I'm in my right mind. Like that man that was cutting himself, I'd be sitting here in my right mind, happy, blessed, favored, anointed, powerful, and strong. Somebody give God some crazy praise. 10, 9, 8.
seven, six, five, four, three, two, one.
Woo! Stand up with me. Encourage me to shut up. Now don't leave, Florida. Don't you walk out. I watch on those cameras and I can see when you leave. Don't you leave. Don't leave early. If you stay for a movie for the whole time, wait for the credits in case there's any things that your superstar celebrity did that you didn't see. You don't want to go to heaven and see you walking out of church, but you're standing there waiting to see what Chris Rock did. And I don't even know if he's acting anymore, but he came to mind. A couple questions before we go. Raise your hand if you say, Pastor David, here today, this is a weekend, week two, I really needed and it hit hard. Raise your hand, okay? One more question. How many of y'all know for sure that your next step, what it needs to be, is getting in a connect group or going through Growth Track? Listen, you're only as sick as your secrets, and you can't do life alone. Come here, Avery, come up real quick. Avery, years ago, he was married, got married young when he knew everything. Him and his girl, they had a baby together. His name is Kobe. Kobe's really little. They got divorced. He had a child with this other woman. And then now he takes his little kid from watching me on television to our church in Fenton. How many years ago is that?
This is our 13th year.
13 years ago, they walked in for watching TV, him and little Kobe. Kobe called his mom, his real mom, said, Mom, will you go to church with me and dad? She said, No, I hate your dad. I'm never going to be with your dad. Next week, can you go to church with dad? So after weeks and weeks of harassment, she said, I'll go to church with your dad, but I'm not sitting with your dad. And the first week that Courtney came to church, I was preaching a little message on forgiveness. It hit her heart. She got... not in a week, not in a month, but in a few months, she got better. Then they started dating again very slowly. And now they've celebrated 13 years of being married together. And she helped raise the kid from the other girl. Somebody ought to get excited. But it didn't happen overnight.